Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Imagine a quiet apartment in 1970. A soft Raggedy Ann doll sits innocently on a bed, its stitched smile beaming in the darkness. Two young nurses return home after a long shift, only to find something is not quite right. The doll isn't where they left it, and a chill runs down their spines as they realize they might not be alone. Tonight, we're unlocking the true history of Annabelle, the doll that refuses to stay in her box.
Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite deadly married duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky, where I tell the stories and Tom gives me a passive-aggressive
I'm Tom.
introduction, because we just got into a little spat right before I dragged him along for this ride of today's episode.
You know, it's always fun to be dragged along. Here we go.
Now, today's episode is going to be fun.
I thought you were getting ready to say there's a trigger warning, and I was getting ready to be very upset thinking, here we go again.
Where there kind of is, yeah, but.
Oh.
Yeah, I think you're going to be very excited.
Yay!
I'm joking. I'm being super sarcastic.
I mean, it wouldn't be called Macabre Mondays. Damn, I cannot speak.
You can.
It wouldn't be called
Ooh! Am I rubbing off on you?
It wouldn't, yes. What's your permer?
Yeah,
it
wouldn't
be called Macabre Mondays if it wasn't a trigger warning.
It's true. It's very true, because that's kind of what we're all about, right? And that's why the trigger warning for today's episode, before we begin, today's episode is going to contain discussion of demonic possession, physical attacks, and violence. So, Dill, listener discretion is advised. I know this is not your favorite topic.
I can think of a few of our listeners that are not going to like this one.
This is not going to be one. Well, yes and no, because it's interesting. I don't want to say too much until we just start getting into it, because I love it when
then
you
stop dragging this on. Let's get into it.
Jesus Christ. God forbid. Here we go. God forbid I say anything. God forbid. God forbid a girl is a girl.
You make this a two-parter, the listeners are going to be pissed.
No, I'm not going to do you guys dirty on this one, okay? Because I know everybody gets so mad at me when I do a two-parter, okay? But today's episode is going to be all about one of the most infamous haunted objects in history.
Annabelle?
If you've seen the Conjuring movies, you already know the name. But what you've seen on screen, that's all the Hollywood version, okay? The real Annabelle isn't this porcelain, creepy-looking, dirty, nasty girl, because she always gives me the vibe. Well, because she's been tossed in the mud. She's been dragged along.
You're right, but you don't...
She looks creepy.
Don't disrespect... Okay, be nice to her.
No, I'm talking about the movie version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes. The porcelain version.
Yeah, she looks so creepy. She looks like a real human. It's giving Chucky, but girl, you know.
Chucky looks funny, though.
Chucky looks funny?
Yeah, not funny, haha, but more like Five Nights at Freddy's.
He's more like hee-hee.
He looks more like Five Nights at Freddy's to me. You know what I mean?
No.
Versus Annabelle to me.
No, Five Nights at Freddy's is more Chuck E. Cheese vibe of scary. You know how the rat looks, Chester Chucker, whatever his name is, Chuck E. Cheese man. He looks more Five Nights at Freddy's, where it is kind of creepy, but he looks happy. He looks childlike. Yeah,
that's true.
Annabelle, Chucky is creepy. Hi.
All right.
I'm your good friend, Chucky. Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
I guess you're right.
No, I mean, everybody's got different opinions. You got yours.
I do have my opinion.
Yeah, I got my own. But the Hollywood version is obviously the porcelain doll that we see through and through. That's really not how Annabelle actually looks, okay? She's actually a floppy Raggedy Ann doll that went from an innocent birthday gift to this global icon of terror that everyone and their mother knows now.
I wonder if my sister Jessica still has her Raggedy Ann doll.
Well, it used to be a thing back in the day. I was reading that the Raggedy Ann doll was actually created in 1915 by Johnny Gruel. And he also patented the design of the doll for that year or whatnot. So the first Raggedy Ann doll was actually created after his daughter brought him an old rag doll and he drew a face on it. And so that's kind of how that came into fruition. Which, if you think about it, when you look at a Raggedy Ann doll, she looks drawn on.
Yeah, it does.
And let me show you a photo, because it's really... She looks... I don't know. I wouldn't be friends with her, but...
Yeah, that's exactly what my sister used to have.
Yeah, she's got like a mop head. Yep. I remember growing up with dolls like this. She also gives me the vibe of Molly. Molly in the big couch.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah.
Am I throwing you back right now? Yo, literally. Molly was my girl.
No, but her in a doll version
is
Annabelle.
Molly in the big comfy couch. Yes, that is
literally
with the same striped,
the nose, the smile,
the striped socks, leggings, or whatnot. She even looks
and
like
even
she has
her doll. Even her doll is more or less a Raggedy Ann.
It really is. Yes, it really is.
Wow. Take me back to the 90s. We like logic in this household.
And the other thing that I was seeing is that Raggedy Ann, actually, the name originates from a combination of two poems by James Whitcomb Riley, The Raggedy Man and The Little Orphan Annie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how they interlocked both of them. Yeah.
This is a whole new backstory on...
Well, we're going to be learning
Annabelle.
About Annabelle herself and how she even came about, what was the history behind her, and the whole spookiness of it all. Because to me, I mean, you see it... The Conjuring movie... What was it? No, actually, hold on. So we know that Annabelle, the movie, they touch upon the history of it, but it expands obviously a little bit more because it's Hollywood and it's a movie and stuff like that. So we will be covering pretty much her creation, I guess, the origination of things. Yeah, we're just going to get into it, okay? We're just going to get into it. It's a paranormal episode, everybody. Woohoo!
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky. And I also want to talk because she's been making rounds in the headlines lately the last couple of years. Yeah. Yeah. So to me,
even
I thought.
In
the last month. And that's why to me, I thought it was just, I'm like, you know what? I always wanted to cover her. and she is super spooky ooky. So sketchy girl, you know, doing her own thing. She's running her own world. You know, nobody understands her. Yeah, nobody understands her. She's just misunderstood. So dim the lights, everyone, and lock your doors. And if you got a doll sitting in your house or in a corner of some sort,
throw that shit in the trash.
Throw that shit away and put her in another room. She's probably going to come back at the end of this episode anyway. So really.
Lock your doors. Hide your kids.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Tonight, we're going to be unlocking the true history of Annabelle, the doll that refuses to stay in her box. Or so do we think. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Now, our story begins in the spring of 1970. A 28-year-old nursing student named Donna received a gift from her mother for her birthday, a vintage Raggedy Ann doll that she picked up at a secondhand store. Cute, right?
Yeah.
If my mom gave me this, I'd be like, so cute. Love it. I'm going to keep it. That's the vibe. I mean, my mom knits me little dolls and I love them. That's true. Super cute.
Hopefully she doesn't make a Raggedy Ann.
Oh my God. No, she would never. She gets freaked out by stuff like that. She would not. My mom would rather die than do that. Now you got to picture this, okay? Because for those of you who don't really know what a Raggedy Ann doll is, or because a lot of people know Annabelle as the Annabelle that we know in the movies.
Yeah.
Porcelain doll. Girl. Yeah, she's got these braids. She got a little dress on, you know, she got lipstick, a little eyeliner, some mascara, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Raggedy Ann is she has bright red yarn hair, a triangular nose, and that permanent stitched on smile. So it's kind of honestly, every time I see the Raggedy Ann doll, it reminds me and screams of innocence and youth and nostalgia. It's just kind of like the way that we kind of grew up with dolls.
I can see that.
Yeah, so Donna shared a small apartment near Hartford, Connecticut. Shout out. Didn't you live in Hartford?
No, I lived in Stamford. Hartford is where ESPN is.
Oh, okay. That's where I get confused. So she lived in an apartment near Hartford, Connecticut with her roommate, Angie, who is also a nurse. They placed the doll on Donna's bed and thought nothing more of it. I mean, I wouldn't either. I got a doll. I put them wherever. For a while, everything was normal, but then little things started to happen.
Like what?
You ready?
No.
At first, the changes were subtle, nothing to really be alarmed by. Donna would come home and find the doll's position slightly different than when she left it. More like an arm moved, folded. Her arms maybe are folded
on
its lap. Okay, pause.
Who remembers
how the fuck you put your doll? I know.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. At first, it's probably nothing, right? But these are occurrences that are happening more often. So maybe she starts paying attention to it because it's kind of odd. Okay.
Sure.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. No, I'll be honest with you because I like to put myself in the other people's shoes, right? I have two dolls that my mom knitted for me. And I have them in my office and they're on a shelf.
Okay.
I know exactly how they're always sat because they've just been sat like that for a while. Now,
well, that's different.
But that's what I mean. If I were to go in the office one day and she's doing, I don't know, she looks like she's doing a somersault or a headstand, I'd be like, is Tom playing a joke on me? Maybe he is. Haha, funny. Hehe. Because you know how we do that with the baby Yoda that we have?
Yes.
Okay.
We always position him some different way.
Right. So to me, I'm like, you know, it's just, at first, it's just subtle, weird, right? She dismisses it because to her, it's just like, oh, nothing really out of the ordinary, okay? She noticed like its arms were folded on its laps. Sometimes the legs were crossed on the Raggedy Ann doll.
Okay, you know, maybe stuff like that I would maybe notice.
Yeah, well, I mean,
if I just tossed my doll or whatever on in my bed,
she would have her sitting in her room or in a part of a room. And she was kind of sitting like that, and that's when she noticed. But I totally get what you mean, because I would feel the same way. It would take me a while to notice something like that.
Well, I think if you're saying the doll had its legs crossed or arms crossed, that to me would be different, and I think I would catch that.
Well, that's what they were noticing. Yeah,
because if you're just tossing your animal, your doll, whatever the hell it is,
and you have it in the same spot,
yeah. And then all of a sudden it's somewhat perfectly situated like that. That I think would maybe start making me think.
Well, it seems like they just...
Did I set that like that?
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. And it seems like Donna had her doll, had this Raggedy Ann doll just situated, sat on a chair or somewhere in her room or in the apartment.
But not so, like super proper.
Yeah, not well, I don't know. It wasn't, I don't think she tossed it. She just had her sitting there. So these are just, damn it, we just got here. Can we just freaking keep going?
Okay, I'm sorry.
My goodness, you're such a skeptic when it comes to these things. You're such a skeptic.
I'm sorry, I have to be.
No, but we love that. We love a skeptic, okay? But as days ended up passing after that, it started to become more apparent that something was up because Annabelle started moving rooms.
Now I'm not skeptic anymore.
On one occasion, Donna left Annabelle on the living room sofa before work and came home to find the doll back in her bedroom, sitting on the bed behind the closet door.
And she doesn't live with anyone?
She lives with Angie, her friend. But her friend was not a part of this.
Her friend obviously didn't do this.
No, because they were noticing, like, no, she didn't do that, right? Now, at this time, when she came home and she noticed that Annabelle moved from the living room to her room, no one was home. There was also no signs of forced entry. There was no type of explanation to...
Imagine somebody fucking broke into their house just to mess around.
Yo.
On their deathbed, they finally admit it.
It's like 70 years later. It was me. Donna, it was all
I had to follow Annabelle everywhere she went to make sure that the truth carried on.
But then about a month into these odd happenings, because at that point, if the doll is being moved in other rooms, I'd probably start getting red flags.
Getting a little spooked.
And you also
out.
Have to think about it, okay? We know about Annabelle from because of the
That's
movies
true.
And stuff,
That's
right?
True.
So at this time, you also got to think about it. If there's something weird, of some type of weird energy or off, you're going to kind of feel that vibe. It's going to be apparent.
Oh, yeah.
So a month into those odd happenings, the disturbances ended up escalating beyond what we are seeing now. Donna and Angie began finding scraps of old parchment paper that they didn't even own in their home.
What?
Yes. And written on it is what looked like a child's handwriting, were messages like, help us. And sometimes it would even say, help Lou. Now, Lou was... Yeah, because you're probably like, who the fuck is Lou?
I was getting ready to say, and then... I mean...
Yeah, no, go for it. Ask me again.
So who is this Lou person?
Well, Lou was Donna's friend. He spent a lot of time at the apartment, and when he saw the notes, he was super unsettled by them because what the fuck? I'd be too. And he even told them, like, you need to get rid of that doll. It's also important to know that Lou has always been a skeptic about the doll from the start.
Yeah.
But when those things started happening, he didn't become a skeptic so much. Well, he's like, something's up. Clearly.
Yeah.
His skepticism was being challenged because that is fucking weird. And ever
Annabelle
since,
said, I'm going to prove your ass wrong.
Yeah, I said, help Lou because I'm coming for you next. You want to doubt me?
Watch your back. You just made the list.
But Donna and Angie didn't see anything really, really off at that point, okay? And they didn't really, they were like, okay, Lou, you know, chill. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
All good. Now, each incident by itself, you got to think about the out of place moving doll, the misplaced notes, might have been dismissed maybe as a prank or maybe a lapse of memory. Maybe they forgot they wrote something or whatnot. I would lean more towards the prank side.
Yeah. I would have to lean towards the prank.
Right. But that's kind of what they were thinking about it. But together, they ended up forming... All these instances started forming a pattern that was kind of impossible for Donna and Angie to ignore at this point because their apartment had become sort of this host to an unseen presence, which is Annabelle, the doll. Mm-hmm. And still... At this stage, the occurrences were strange, but nothing that is outright terrifying, right? Because at this
not yet, right?
At this point, I mean, to me, if this doll is teleporting, that's outright terrifying to me. But it's kind of, you know, nothing's happening. Nothing's hurting me. I'm okay. Yeah, I still got to live here. I got to go to work. Got to come back. I'm doing my thing, right? I'm in my own world. Now, Donna and Angie were... actually kind of mystified and a bit spooked about this whole situation, but they actually felt more curious than fearful about Annabelle. Now, they wondered if the doll might actually be haunted or perhaps maybe inhabited by a spirit trying to reach out to them.
Okay.
Which, to me, being more on the side of mystified and more curious about things, I would also probably see it that way, but I wouldn't mess too much with it, right?
Yeah.
Now, They were kind of uncertain of what to do at this point, so they cautiously continued to live with Annabelle. Donna did not get rid of it.
I love how we say lived with, as if...
She's paying rent now. Yeah. Now she's contributing.
Annabelle got a job?
Her job is to take care of the house. She's honestly sounds like the partner that you come home with and they're super fucking pissed that they had to be home. And they're like, where the fuck were you? Where the hell? What's for dinner today? I didn't make anything.
I'm sorry. I was fucking working all day.
And honestly, it sounds like that would be a Family Guy skit.
I could see that.
Yes. Now, as weeks went by, the atmosphere in the apartment turned from curious to now it's starting to get ominous because Annabelle's pranks grew bolder and the entity attached to the doll started to make its presence known in some very frightening ways.
Do tell.
One morning, Donna discovered something chilly. Chilly.
Chilly?
Yes. Chilly.
It was cold?
Beans and chili. Oh, I was thinking chili the soup. No, so Donna discovered something very chilling one morning. She noticed tiny droplets of red liquid smeared on Annabelle's hand and chest that appeared to be blood.
I'm not liking this.
Now, I'm sure your thought is, where the hell did that come from? Because what do you mean?
Yeah, but there's not... Does she find her fucking roommate dead?
Good thought process there, but the apartment is actually very spotless. There's really no reason for this doll specifically to have any type of red liquid on it, blood or Angie's still alive. Angie was still alive. Okay, to answer that question. But at this point, now Donna's like, this is getting sketchy. This is getting weird. Like, why does
where did it come
blood?
From?
They don't know. It just showed up on her dress.
That's fucking weird.
Right. And that's when things, if they were already not escalating, but they start escalating from creepy to violent now. One night, Lou was sleeping on the couch with Annabelle placed in the room. Lou woke up in a panic, feeling something was terribly wrong. He couldn't move. His body was paralyzed. He felt breathless and he was in pain. Then he felt it when he opened his eyes. He felt a crushing weight on his chest and he saw Annabelle was sitting on him.
What the fuck?
And suddenly he felt invisible hands clamped around his throat. Lou couldn't breathe at all. He struggled. He was gasping, fighting for air. And just when he thought he'd black out, the pressure lifted. When Lou scrambled up, he felt this burning pain across his chest. And looking down, he saw 7 deep scratches raked across his skin.
Yo.
They were gone within 2 days, but he never forgot that feeling of being strangled by something that you really couldn't see.
Yeah, she said, I'm gonna make a believer out of you.
Yeah, he was like, you thought you were skeptic? Yeah, that's what I thought. But
damn.
Right, and at this point, Donna and Angie had reached their breaking point. They were like, we're weighing over our heads. Something deep and sinister is going
on. Throw the fucking doll away.
Right.
Get rid of it.
Something is happening that they can't even explain. I feel bad for Lou because Lou earlier was like, you need to get rid of that doll after the notes.
I'd be heading down. I'd put that thing on the Metro North and just leave its ass.
Let somebody else find it. Yeah. Damn.
Enjoy
you said
New
it's somebody
York
else's
City.
Problem. Now, desperate at this point, they ended up calling a psychic. And during a seance, the medium said that the spirit inside the doll was a 7-year-old girl named Annabelle Higgins.
Nope.
So that's where her name came from, Annabelle. She apparently had died on the property before the apartments were built. The medium relayed that Annabelle's tragic story was one of those of loneliness, that she supposedly just felt comfort with Dawn and Angie, which were two kind young women in the apartment, and wanted to stay with them and be loved. Now, this story tugged at Donna and Angie's hearts, and that's when they came to the decision
to keep her.
Yeah, they made a mistake by saying, you know what, let's just... They gave Annabelle permission to stay because they felt...
Yo.
I know, they give me chills just saying that. But they felt, oh my God, poor girl, you know, she died, she's lonely. If this is a way that we can let her just... We can give her love and company, then we'll do that.
Nope.
I know.
Oh, that's so sad. Get the fuck out of my house.
And that's the other problem, too, is the minute you give permission something to come in or stay, it's hard to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did nobody... I mean, I get Sinners wasn't a movie back then, but dude.
Yeah, well, this is
you gotta welcome the fuck in.
This was the 70s, so you really gotta think about that. You gotta think about that. Which in the movie they did portray that part, which I thought was really the way. I mean, they did so well with the set design and the directing. It was really great. Well,
aren't you gonna welcome me on in?
It's like, you've been here all day. Why don't you just head on in?
What was his name? What
Cornbread.
Cornbread.
Yeah, Cornbread.
Well, Cornbread, you've been here all day.
Yeah. No, if you guys have not seen the movie Sinners, it is so good. Yes. We won't say too much, but definitely go watch it. It's on HBO now, so if you guys have HBO, go watch it. Now, obviously, that kindness from Donna and Angie just made things worse, because after the seance, the disturbances started to grow even darker. By inviting the spirit to stay, the roommates had pretty much opened the door wider for whatever the hell Annabelle Higgins or whatnot to come in. Yeah. So after that, after the seance, they started noticing loud knocks at night, waking them up, objects.
Yeah, because Annabelle's inviting her friends over. You guys just said, I moved the fuck in.
Well, yeah, so they were waking up at, and honestly, I was even thinking, I'm like, man, I would be, one, imagine being disrupted in your sleep constantly because there's knocks. Wow, why'd you look at me like that? I don't disrupt you. You can feel free to sleep.
Not you.
Okay.
I was thinking of our old man that wakes me up in the middle of the night.
Oh, Scrappy?
Or our little youngest lady
that wakes me up
at 2 or 3 a.m.
Yeah, she's like, I forgot to poop.
You know, exactly. You know how you told me to go poopy? Well, I didn't, and now I need to.
Imagine that, but imagine Phoebe, but she's not even there. So that would be creepy.
Honestly, I don't think I'd be creeped out. I'd just be pissed off.
You're like, girl, are you for real right now?
I like my sleep too much, man.
I know you do get cranky. So imagine that. So they're waking up in the middle of the night from loud knocks. Yes.
That's wild.
There's objects that are moving by themselves at this point. And
are they watching it happen?
Yeah, like it's all, well, damn. The object's moving. I'm not sure about that. Oh, okay. I'm not sure about that. Yes. But they are noticing that there are
everything
objects being
happening.
Moved. Yes. And they're starting to grow. There's this sense that's growing that something was watching them, which, man, if you guys have never had that sensation, I've had that sensation before where I felt something was watching me. And it is the most spine chilling, hair raising feeling ever. Have you ever had that feeling?
Yeah. Remember when we were in our apartment and I woke up in the middle of the night and I finally woke you up the next morning because
our apartment.
Yeah.
In Florida?
Mm-hmm. Remember when I ended up waking up and I told you, I said I woke up and it's happened, happened a few nights in a row and it literally felt like there was a black figure just staring right at me?
Yes, and we had to cleanse you? Yes, I
that
remember
was
that.
Fucking terrifying.
Yeah, so imagine that feeling and you're living in your own home 24/7 and that's what's been happening. So if no one's ever experienced that, I hope you never do, because that's honestly such a creepy feeling, man. You can't even describe
awful.
It. It's like, you know, you're not alone, but you are alone. It's so weird. Now, finally, at this point, with all these things happening, I know in the movie, they end up throwing her out in the garbage.
Yes.
Which I'm sure, I don't know if they did do that, but in the movie, they did do that. And then she ends up right back in the house. So at this point, it's starting to get bad. There's nothing they can do to detach from Annabelle. Finally, they end up getting to a point, you know, they're like, let's reach out to a priest who ended up connecting them with two people who would become central of this story. And we know who they are, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Now, if anyone's ever heard of the Conjuring universe, Insidious, all that jazz, you know the Warrens. But in 1971, they were already very well known in the paranormal world and ghost hunters in New England who had investigated many, many paranormal instances and occurrences. Now, Ed, it was a demonologist, because sadly, Ed and Lorraine Warren are no longer with us. I think he passed way earlier than Lorraine did. But Ed was a demonologist and Lorraine was a clairvoyant and a medium. And they went, I mean, we know them from so many stories now on, because they kind of oversensationalize things. I know there's a lot of, there's also a lot of backlash with the Warrens because a lot of people feel like they just kind of were trying to sell stuff to Hollywood and they oversensationalize things. I know everybody's got their own opinion on them, but I'm just telling the story, okay? Now, the Warrens ended up listening to the nurse's story and they gave their diagnosis. They were like, the doll is not haunted by a child. It was being manipulated by an inhumane demonic entity. It was using the doll as a conduit. Lorraine sensed this really dark aura around Annabelle, and Ed was the one that recognized the demonic activity. It was giving infestation, deception, and harm, which we noticed in all the instances.
We've seen them.
Yes. Now, Ed explained that spirits don't inhabit dolls. They use them. They create an illusion of haunting to gain your trust, so they can eventually possess a human host.
And they invited them in.
Mm-hmm. They invited her in.
Y'all
so
fucked up.
The sweet story of Annabelle Higgins was most likely a lie, and it was kind of just a bait to win the girl's sympathy, which in reality is what ended up happening. And I also wonder if that psychic medium that they spoke to, didn't know that, and that's what this demonic entity was actually presenting itself as. Yeah, and that's
and
how.
And that's what she picked up.
Yes, and that's what she picked up, and that's why they.
I could see that.
Right? I mean, that could be. You never
know. A good
know.
Trick.
Yeah, that's a good trick.
Because
I mean,
who else are they going to believe?
Right. And the demonic and demonic spirits, they're gonna play the role
they'll
as best
as they
can.
They'll tell you who they are, whoever you want them to be.
Exactly. Now, the Warrens actually also reported that truly, the spirit was not looking to stay attached to the doll. They believed that they were really trying. It was just a spirit that wanted to
attach itself
to another human. Yeah,
damn.
To a human and take over there to possess. In other words, the entity's end game was to possess Donna or Angie. And after gaining their trust by pretending to be this harmless girl and them giving Annabelle permission to stay, the women pretty much had opened the door to being like, hey, which
welcome,
one of us?
Welcome to our bodies.
Welcome. Which one are you taking? Now, the Warrens knew that they had to act fast, okay? They arranged for an exorcism of the apartment, a cleanse, and actually prepared to remove the doll. But the problem is that just leaving the apartment wasn't that simple. Ed and Lorraine's plan was to take Annabelle straight back to their home in Monroe, Connecticut, and lock her safely away. But the entity attached to the doll did not want to go quietly.
Oh.
Yep, because as the Warrens drove, they experienced immediate trouble with their vehicle. I also was listening to another podcast about this, Lights Out. They're honestly really great if you guys want to go check them out. But they also were talking about how apparently that the Warrens were actually leaving. When they left, they were actually taking back routes and not hitting the highway so that in case something did happen, they weren't, you know, nothing happened in the middle of the highway where something could have attacked them
or they could have been hit or major crash. Yeah.
Yes. So they were experiencing immediate trouble with their vehicle while they were driving home. And it was actually a brand new car that they were driving. And it just abruptly stalled. The steering was failing. The brakes were beginning to give out.
Annabelle really said, let's go for a wild ride.
She's like, girl, you thought you were going to take me that easily?
Mm-mm. Psych.
Mm-mm. While they were driving, supposedly Ed pulled over and reached into the back seat for his kit of holy water and doused Annabelle, making the sign of a cross. And only then did all the malfunctions and really weird occurrences happening while they're driving home kind of stop.
He burnt her ass.
No, he really did. And that to me, and even to them, it already states like we're messing with
100%.
Something. Yeah, something's going on. Now, Lorraine reported that during this ride, she felt the whole time that there was this oppressive evil presence watching them through the doll's like button eyes. And Ed used to also be a former police officer before he turned demonologist. He said that he's seen enough that he knew that they had to take extra precautions now that Annabelle was in their custody. So once they got home, Ed carried the doll to his study and sat it in a chair. He later claimed the doll levitated a couple times and then fell still. For the first few weeks, they said that Annabelle even managed to escape locked rooms that they would put her in.
Yo, that's wild.
And they would lock her in a separate office at times, only to find her sitting casually in
the original office?
No, in Ed's easy chair in another room later.
Yo, that's freaking wild.
I know. It gives me chills just talking about it because, one, we've seen the movies.
Yes,
so you can
yes.
really get the visual of that. But just even thinking about it in your head, it's like, ooh.
I think it's even creepier. I'll be completely honest. I almost would rather the porcelain Annabelle doll
than the Raggedy Ann. Really?
Because the Raggedy Ann looks so freaking friendly.
Oh, and innocent. Yeah, it's very nostalgic.
Then if I'm coming into a room and I just see a doll that's just like smiling and
But the Annabelle doll looks creepy too.
She does, but it's all in her eyes.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Yeah, I guess it is creepy. It makes it even creepier because of how friendly it looks. I could see that.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Something that's creepy,
you assume is creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I know, that's just creepy.
But something that doesn't look creepy but does creepy shit,
yeah,
that's even creepier.
She's like gaslighting everybody. I'm actually really... She's a Sour Patch Kid. Sour, sweet, gone. That's literally what she does. Now, this demonic hijacker is attaching itself to the doll. It's clearly still there and is trying to test boundaries at this point. Now, they recognize the risk, but the Warrens decided, listen, let's call a Catholic priest to perform a more powerful binding ritual on Annabelle. Because what we're doing is not doing nothing.
Yeah.
We need more help. Yeah.
You need an exorcist.
Yeah, we need help. Now, Father Jason Bradford arrived, and upon seeing the doll, he actually kind of scoffed at the idea that there would even be this inanimate object, this doll that could actually cause harm to it and is possessed and attached. But again, as we've learned, Annabelle loves to test the skeptics, okay? So as legend has it, Father Bradford picked up Annabelle and shouted, "You're just a doll, Annabelle. You can't hurt anyone." And then threw it back down in disgust and probably also feeling like, damn, really, I'm taking time out of my day just to fucking
just to play with
a goddamn doll. Yeah, he's probably so mad. Now, Ed and Lorraine Warren were kind of appalled. They were like, oh, my God, this is not a good idea.
Did you fucking do that?
Yeah, like, so you don't understand what you're messing with, dude. It's pretty much how they were vibing with it, okay? And they were telling the priest, you need to be more cautious because Annabelle, we're telling you,
she's not one to fuck with, dude.
Yeah, like, this is a force to be reckoned with.
We want to take care of this.
Now, on his drive home, he actually ended up having a horrific near-death experience. His brakes failed and his car crashed off the road. He survived, but he was so shaken up and he called the Warrens to apologize, admitting that maybe the doll is evil and real after all. Yep.
Maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah, just maybe. And later, Ed ended up saying, "No doll or demon is stronger than God, but a demon is stronger than a man or a priest." Which I'm like, you got to think about that because...
He's spitting facts, though.
He is spitting facts. And I mean, that's what they say about demons. The devil works harder, right?
Yeah.
What's that thing I always see that they're saying? The devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder. So the devil works hard, but Annabelle's working harder right now, okay? Now, to contain the threat once and for all, like we all know, Ed and Lorraine built a special wooden case for Annabelle since she got home. Since now she is staying in their home. They're like, we need to figure out a way to contain
her.
They
said, we gotta lock her ass down.
Now the case, we've all seen it. I'm gonna post it on socials as well. But it looks like a mini chapel almost. It's very sturdy wood with this consecrated cross. There's a mounted at the top. And there are carved prayers inside, which is meant to bind the evil that's within. So they really went all out with this.
Of course.
On the front, it is clear glass panels. So you can see inside this box. And there is a bold hand-carved sign reading, "Warning, positively do not open." By locking the doll away, and they regularly are blessing this enclosure with holy water and prayers. Like, this is something that they were doing very frequently.
They said, we wanted to lock it down permanently and never let her out.
Yeah, and I forgot how many times, but I think it was either once a week or once a month, but they were doing this.
I mean, I could see it probably being once a week.
Yeah, they were doing this doing a regular blessing on where Annabelle, in this box Annabelle was staying, to make sure that there was no way that she can get out and that the demonic entity was being locked inside. Yes. Now, Lorraine firmly believed that these precautions were very effective and that she even described that the binding prayers were being much like an electric fence for a dog, that they would hold the evil in check so long as the rituals were maintained. Now, with Annabelle being sealed in that glass and them doing the blessings and the rituals and stuff, everything that was happening at Donna and Angie's apartment actually stopped. So that's...
Well, but So that's weird to me, because if the demon is attached to Annabelle, how is it that back at their apartment, they were still having issues, even though the doll that it's attached to is not there?
What do you mean?
Because usually the way that it came off was that the doll is what was possessed.
Right.
But, oh, never mind.
What?
I was trying to understand, because if you remove the doll, then technically you pulled the possessed person, demon, whatever, out of that area. So they shouldn't have been seeing anything after they left with the doll.
Right.
But this is where my mind's going.
Okay.
More than likely, the reason they continued to have occurrences, have issues, even after the doll left, the doll acts as a portal for that demon. Anyone's house it's welcomed into, it can easily transport back and forth any of those homes, but wherever the doll is, it can go without permission. That's just my mindset.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I mean, in reality, could, yeah. But the thing, right, I see what you're saying. And the fact that she ended up, they removed Annabelle from Donna and Angie's apartment, and then everything stopped at Angie's apartment, also reads to me, based off of what you're saying too, this demonic entity is just trying to find anything to latch on to. So since Ed and Lorraine took them, I don't think they knew, or, and I don't think Annabelle was exactly ready for what was going to happen with Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yeah. So when that happened, I think it's just they contained it so well that now she's like, fuck, I'm stuck. Now I'm stuck. That's what I get for being picky. I should have just went for it. Yeah.
Reversed the doorknob.
Yeah, no, literally. Dang it. Now, the Warren's Occult Museum, which we all know about, it is actually attached to their house. It's kind of like its own separate garage, but it's attached to the house.
Yeah.
It's a dim wood paneled room that's crammed with, I mean, dozens of haunted relics, right? I'm going to post photos too. Honestly, you guys should go watch the Conjuring movies if you haven't. It's one of my favorite. I love the Conjuring universe. I love.
Basically anything on Shudder.
Yes. They're not on Shudder though, but I love anything on Shudder as well. Shout out Shudder. I love you. But it is just so good. I remember there's times I'd be waking up in the morning and I just watch The Nun bright and early with breakfast. Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know what it is. I just really like spooky movies. Okay. Now The Conjuring is another one. Okay. It's just spooky and I love the spooky vibe. I love being in the spooky mode. Now, if you guys go watch these movies, and I'm sure a lot of us have, they have dozens of haunted relics. I mean, think of crucifixes, satanic dolls, they have masks, and in the corner, they have Annabelle in her encased little chapel box. Now, visitors can actually, or used to be able to go actually and walk by, and they've described feeling dizzy near her case, like a wave of nausea washing over them. And Lorraine would warn every guest, do not touch the glass and don't mock the doll.
I would have gotten fucked up.
Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't have let you. I wouldn't have let you. Well, yeah, it was like you and my brother when we went to Salem. We were in Salem, Massachusetts, and we go into the Ouija board museum. I take them to the Ouija board museum. We get in there. They have a haunted chair that the psychics were using next door and that they said was carrying some really negative energy to him. And the story was that people who were sat in the chair would feel a lot of really weird feelings.
Heavy pressure. If there was weight on their shoulders.
Yes, they would feel nauseous, sick, and all that. And it was, at the time when we went to go do the tour of the Ouija Museum, it was me, Tom, and my brother, and three other people that were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were, the other people that were there were like, yeah, I'll sit in it. Like, why not? And so, because they let you sit in it if you want to.
Yeah.
When they sat in it, they were like, yeah, it does feel kind of weird. I don't think I sat in it. Did I sit in it?
You did not.
No, I did not sit in it. But my brother at the time had cancer. And so thankfully he's doing well now. But at the time my brother had cancer and he was like, fuck it. I already got cancer. Why not? So
I think his exact words were, well, I got nothing else to lose.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, what the fuck? What else? And I think that was the second time he had cancer. So at this point,
he sat down and the minute he sat, he went, oh.
Oh yeah. He started. He started acting as if something was happening. Yeah. Yes. But when he sat down, he was like, yeah, I don't feel anything. And then Tom sat down. He also didn't feel anything. So we were thinking that maybe the people that sat first were probably just indulged in the story. And you know how sometimes it's a placebo effect. Somebody tells you you're going to feel something and then you
and
think
I will
it
say,
will be.
Complete side note before we get back to the main story. If you haven't been to Salem, one, go. Two,
yes.
If you haven't gone to the Ouija board museum, definitely go because the history of the Ouija board,
yeah,
not what it is today, but the actual history of it, if you don't know that part, is actually so interesting and entertaining to see how it got to where it is now.
Yes, yes, so interesting. And the people that are working there, so well educated on the history about the Ouija and everything about it. And you can also see a lot of the Ouija boards that the first one
they
ever
the
that
first
was made.
One, yeah.
Yes. How it's been interpreted over the years, what they used to do at like Ouija board parties and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's so, so interesting. It's also such a great photo op as well. They have, I mean, you can go and take a bunch of photos. They have, I just love Salem. Please just go, okay? And if you guys do, tag us because we love to see the Salem photos that other people post about going and all the
100%.
Museums or the haunted tours that they do. Absolutely love it. So anyways, but yeah, I just thought that was really funny. But one man actually didn't listen and he laughed and banged on the glass and dared Annabelle to do something. And on the ride home, he apparently crashed his motorcycle into a tree and he died instantly.
Fucking now, karma.
Yeah. And now I think to me, it's hard for me not to assume that it's not from Annabelle because these instances are happening because they did something to Annabelle or around her or whatever. So to me, it's hard for me to be skeptic when very interesting coincidences are happening, right?
Other people see her and went home, no problem.
Right, exactly. And if you think about the priest, he kind of did the same thing. He scoffed about the idea that she could even be this evil entity.
He threw her ass on the ground.
Yeah, he said, girl, shut the fuck up. Sit your ass down. He said, sit your broke ass down is what he said. And then he got broken. Thankfully, he survived, but barely at this point. So a lot of skeptics at this point do say it's just coincidences. But if you are a believer
of a lot of fucking coincidences, I know, if you ask me, and I'm a skeptic.
Right. And if you are a believer of these things like I am, I don't think it's a coincidence.
Nah.
I feel like there's really no such thing as coincidences.
This is wild.
Yeah. And Ed often said that the doll is one of the most dangerous objects in their museum. And Lorraine actually called it a conduit of evil. But not everyone agrees because there's a paranormal historian called Joseph Laycock and said Annabelle's story fits a classic pattern of haunted doll folklore, like Robert the Doll in Florida. Have you ever heard of him?
I have not.
Okay. Now, Robert the Doll is actually, we'll cover him on another.
Oh, wait. Actually, I think I have.
Have you? Okay. Well, he's this reportedly haunted doll that's actually housed in East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. He kind of, let me show you. He kind of looks like a little sailor boy. He's cute.
Oh no, that is not who, I don't know why. I was thinking one of those classic, what the hell are they called? The puppets that the people talk with.
Oh, you're talking about, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's in a movie, Dead Silence.
Yeah, and he's got the
comb over.
Nice,
and he's like, that's how you're going to talk to me. Then you shouldn't talk to me at all. Yeah, he's got
and
really
little,
spunky. Yeah, Dead Silence, I think, is the name
smile.
Of the movie.
Yeah, that one.
Whew. Wait, let me see, because now I need to figure out
and
the
And that's a legitimate, what the hell are they called?
Yes, his name is Billy. Ventriculist.
Yes, a ventriculist. But what's the puppet called?
His name is Billy.
No, not his
name. Oh, what are you trying to ask?
What kind of puppets are those?
Ventriloquist dolls.
I think there's an actual name.
Okay, let me see. Oh, he's a ventriloquist dummy. That's literally what it is. Yes.
Oh, I don't know why I swore there was an actual name for them.
No, ventriloquist dummy. He's a dummy. Yeah, he's a dummy.
Don't call him a dummy. He'll come kill you.
Okay, all right. My bad. But anyways, Robert the Doll, okay, he was originally owned by this guy, Robbie Eugene Otto, which was a Key West artist who received the doll as a gift around 1904.
Yo.
It's always about receiving
a gift.
Yo, if you ever get a...
me a doll as a gift, I'm not accepting. I'm going to say double it, give it to the next person.
Give it to the next person. I don't care if I come off rude. Don't be giving me no dolls, okay? That's just creepy, okay? And there's a lot of folklore of haunted dolls that we'll cover in other episodes because I remember growing up and also being Hispanic, growing up, there was this folklore around trolls, the troll dolls.
I think you've told me about
this. Yes, yes.
Because I've always wanted to get trolls and gnomes, and you'd say, no,
the
we
gnomes.
Can't get those.
Yeah, I'm okay about the gnomes now because they're cute for Christmas, but, you know, the gnomes is really big because they say that's kind of a way to let...
Yeah,
we'll get to that another time. But anyways, a lot of people believe that Robert the doll is possessed and has also been blamed for a lot of mishaps. So that's why some paranormal historian Joseph Laycock said that he kind of believes that this just falls into a classic pop pattern. Yeah, of doll folklores, yeah. Like, okay. Him. So the New England Skeptical Society called the Warrens' work pseudoscience, arguing that they relied on anecdotes and not actual evidence. But one journalist who visited the museum said that it felt more like a Halloween yard sale than a house of horrors.
Damn.
Which, I know, I'd be like, yo, you gonna Yelp that? Fuck you. I'm not giving you your money back. But it's kind of hard because... Who would you believe? Do you believe the scientists or people who have sworn that that Annabelle has attacked them or they have experiences? Everybody's got differing opinions.
Know,
that's why this world is built on skeptics and believers. You know, it's just...
That's true. It's true.
You just never know. I think it's really more of a... what is that saying that they say when it comes to paranormal activity of you...
Seeing is believing?
I don't think it's exactly like that, but that's essentially the premise. Of, oh, that it'll make a believer out of you or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the same premise. And I feel there is a lot of things that, I mean, if anybody else has any spooky stories, please send them our way, okay?
Whoa,
because
we
love that.
What the fuck are you doing?
No, I'm just
That's
I'm just
my
throwing,
line at the end.
I know. I'm just throwing it in right now.
Don't
I'm just
be
throwing
taking
it
my
in.
Line.
Now, in 2013, The Conjuring introduced Annabelle to the world, right? And that's pretty much what changed her forever. And everybody now knows all about her. Now, in The Conjuring, like we said, she wasn't this floppy Raggedy Ann doll. She's now this cracked porcelain type of nightmare. And in her movie, The Annabelle Creation, I think it was, that one is a creepy movie.
Wild.
Yeah, I wasn't really creeped out by the other Annabelle movies, but Annabelle Creation
they
was...
cooked with
yeah,
that
no,
movie.
Yeah, no, the fucking rent was due with that one. It was so good. Now, the films obviously have now invented satanic cults, orphanage massacres, demonic nuns, right? We've got the nun.
They've done them all.
Right. And none of them have ever really happened. These are obviously just stories. But why the change from the Raggedy Ann doll to a porcelain doll? And it's because of what you said. She just looks too friendly, too innocent. That's not too sweet. That's not what Hollywood wants to see. Hollywood wants to see
horror. And
they want to see evil. Yeah. Like at first glance, you want to look at something and be like, that's creepy.
Yeah,
that's
they've
creepy.
Done that with so much.
With
everything
so many
has to get hollified.
Right, right. Exactly.
That's my new term. I don't even know if it's a real term. I'm calling it hollified.
What do you mean? Where's that deriving from?
Hollywood-fied.
Oh, hollified.
Modified.
Okay. I don't know if that's even a word. If it
isn't.
I don't
know. It is now.
It is now.
The Dictionary Tom.
I thought you were saying something else.
Tomster's Dictionary.
Tomster's Dictionary. Okay, interesting.
Instead of Webster's.
Okay, all right. Well, that leads me to the 2020 viral hoax.
Ooh.
Yes. So it's been about the last couple of years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, if you think about it, 2020 was already a nightmare. Fucking, that shit was Annabelle in itself in a whole
For
year.
For real.
Then Twitter ended up exploding with this rumor
it's
that...
It's called X now.
Annabelle had escaped the museum. Remember, we've all heard of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it started as a joke that was edited on Annabelle's Wikipedia page. But within hours, I mean, there was memes everywhere. People joked about Annabelle taking a road trip, meeting up with Chucky. Like, she's doing a fucking
she
world
tour.
She's
going on tour.
Yeah, she's going on tour. Now, the rumor ended up getting so big that Tony Spera, which is Lorraine's son-in-law, which... He is the one that is taking that I think took over the Warrens' museum and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes.
So he's actually I think he is the one
I'm
that
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yes. And he posted a video standing next to the doll saying Annabelle did not escape. She's right here. She didn't go see her boyfriend. Which valid. OK, now, obviously, everybody laughed about it, but it just I mean, it was a way to get Annabelle back also into the
spotlight,
the limelight.
Yeah.
You know, she loved the light. She loved it. Now,
she said, hey, still here.
Hey, girl, hey. Yeah, seriously. Now, this year, the reason why I wanted to cover her on an episode soon is because recently in the headlines, yes, Dan Rivera, he was a U.S. Army veteran, seasoned investigator, and he was actually a protege of Lorraine Warren, had passed away. Very weird instances of how he passed away.
Fucking strange.
It's another coincidence. Really weird. Yes.
Nah.
Now, this year, Annabelle did go on the road, and for the first time in decades, NESPR launched a tour called Devils on the Run, featuring the real Annabelle doll in her glass case at haunted sites across the U.S. So this was kind of a way to also get everybody to be able to see her.
It's almost like you would think we've not... Did people not learn? You leave shit alone. You leave it in the place that it's safe.
I know. I know.
You move shit, bad things happen.
I know. It's true. It's true. Now, I remember seeing a bunch of photos of people. I think they were even posting photos of videos of them moving it, which is kind of crazy
there
and all that.
There was the video of them taking it up the handicap ramp into the back door.
Yes.
Everything.
Now, leading that tour was Dan Rivera, who passed away just recently, unfortunately. And he was this beloved figure in the paranormal community for his compassion and dedication to educating the public about Annabelle and all these paranormal instances. And he was a protege of Lorraine Warren, which is, I mean, that's huge. She actually worked with her, and she's one of the big ones in the paranormal community as well. She's seen so many things. She's clairvoyant, you know, she's a medium herself. So imagine that. So when he passed recently, I think it was last weekend. It was in July 13th that he passed away of this year during their tour stop in Gettysburg that they found that he passed away in his hotel room. And authorities say that it appears that it was natural causes. They don't believe there was any foul play, nothing suspicious. And I just read that I think he passed away from a heart attack, which is so sad. But it's also another thing that it's like, man, hard to not separate Annabelle from
there's a number of different ways that I think people that either get possessed or demonic things happen. I genuinely, again, I'm more of a skeptic on everything. Yeah. I take everything with a grain of salt.
But coincidence. Yeah.
But this coincidence, I think not.
I know. It is weird. And it's so sad because he was such a big key player in the paranormal community, and he was doing so much good, and it's just sad to see that he did pass away.
Yes.
Even if it was attached to Annabelle or not. Heart attacks, I can't even he was 54. And that to me is like, he's still so young. He still has so much life to live. I mean, honestly, I was kind of shook when a friend that I went to school with in college or whatnot, I found out that he passed away
from a heart attack,
and we're all the same age. And I was like, my God, life really?
Yeah.
Life is too short. You should do things that you're happy with, that you love, that bring you passion and make you and fulfill you all around.
Yeah.
And clearly that's what Dan was doing with his life, because he loved doing this. You know, he was just this pivotal.
He was in his element.
He was in his element. Yeah. So it's just really sad to see. But the timing of that just really kind of sends chills through the paranormal world, because the man trusted to guard Annabelle now is gone, you know, without warning. And it's sad. It's so freaking sad.
Yeah.
And there were so many tributes that I was reading about from him that poured in, that NESBR vowed to continue the tour in his honor. But for many, this just kind of cemented that Annabelle's legend in a way.
But
you know,
leave her the fuck alone.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, anyone who does or who is around her, you know, be respectful, be careful, be cautious. I know there's skeptics out there, but just, you know, just
be
cautious.
Nice to her.
Just be nice. She's, you know, all that. But I just thought that was really, I thought that was very sweet and heartfelt of them to continue the tour on his behalf, because
he wouldn't have wanted it to stop either.
Yes, yes. And I also saw that he had posted in 2020, I was watching the Law and Crime Sidebar channel on YouTube, and they were actually covering it, because they were also, they usually just cover true crime cases or reports or whatnot. But they said that this was just such a interesting and weird occurrence that they also had to cover it. But Dan Rivera actually made a post on April 18th of 2020, and it read, "Does life really end? I've asked myself that question today. My answer was, in life, we leave a piece of ourselves with loved ones and friends on our journey through life until there are no more pieces to give away. You would think that this is the end, but when you look back at all the pieces you gave away, these pieces will always be remembered. So I say I will never die. My journey has only begun.
Damn.
Oh, I know. And then to see 5 years later that he ended up passing from a heart attack. Oh, yeah. My heart goes out to him and his family and everybody who knows him and just the whole community.
Sucked,
it sucks so bad. So many people were paying him tributes that knew him and all that. And it's just so heartbreaking. One of them that I just want to mention is from Ryan Buell. Or Buell? I hope I'm saying that right. Please don't crucify me, people. Okay, I have an accent. It's also kind of hard to pronounce everything correctly. But I'm doing my best. I swear. I promise. Now, he was a close colleague and friend and paranormal investigator as well to Dan. They worked together on several high-profile paranormal projects and had a very deep personal connection as well. Ryan is also known from Paranormal State, the show. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's a paranormal investigator on that show. He's the main one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. And he actually kind of spoke about Dan's kindness and the impact that he did, and he said, I am utterly heartbroken and sad to write that Dan Rivera, the lead investigator for the New England Society for Psychic Research, which is NESPR, has passed away unexpectedly this weekend. I have so many amazing memories with this guy. Just as recently as 2 months ago, we traveled around the country and introduced a whole new generation to Ed and Lorraine Warren's legacy. Dan cared for Lorraine towards the end of her life, and he devoted his time passionately to keeping Ed and Lorraine's legacy alive. He was a loving father, husband, and a loyal and caring friend. And he put that in all caps.
Damn.
When I got clean and entered recovery and decided to show my face again, hardly anyone wanted anything to do with me. But Dan believed in me. He wanted me to come back home, to return to being a part of NESPR and the Warrens family. He believed in me when I was struggled to believe in myself. That's who he was. And what many of you may not know is privately, he and NESPR helped families who were haunted, just as Ed and Lorraine did. One of the many things I loved about Dan is that he was a dreamer with big, bold, and sometimes ballsy ideas. I love that I got to play a small role in that vision. And just as I mourn him, I also mourn his unfinished dreams and ideas for the future. To his wife, Sarah, and his amazing children, to Chris, Wade, Tony, and Judy, my heart goes out to all of you. Dan touched so many lives, and we are honored that we got to be a part of his family. I can't believe I had my final phone call with you and my final moment with you here on this earth. I'll cherish every minute of it.
Wow.
I know. And there is a photo of Dan Rivera. It is so,
that sucked,
man. So sad. Yes. And it's just kind of crazy because I wanted to cover the Annabelle, her story and who she was and where she came from and why.
I mean, it's an interesting story.
Yes, very fascinating.
And it's very well known.
Very
well
known.
Even people not into paranormal,
right,
I feel like, know the name Annabelle.
Yes, and they know that there's something behind that, and not everybody knows the history behind it. Not a lot of people also watch the movies because they are kind of spooked
exactly
by it, but they know about it, yes. And so I always wanted to cover the Annabelle story, and then when I saw this was like, well, when I saw that the Devil's on Tour, I was like, oh my God, that's so interesting. I wonder if Annabelle will be on tour somewhere near us, because I did want to go maybe see if we could see her or tour her or whatnot. But then this, you're like,
you can go by yourself.
We can sit outside. You can't hate from outside a club. You can't get even in. Okay. So, and then the sad, tragic news about Dan passing, I was like, oh man, this just, wow, that's just so sad. And I wanted to also talk about him and his legacy and also everything that he did. And I mean, what he's doing right now what he was doing with the Devils on Tour. So honestly, but at the end of it, people are going to have their opinions. They're going to have, you know, their beliefs, and that's completely fine. You know, if you don't agree with this at all, it's okay. You don't have to listen. All right. We're just sharing our opinion. But honestly, what do you think? Do you think that she is cursed? Do you think it's just tragic coincidences? 100%
she's cursed. Don't come after my ass. I believe in you. I'm not a non-believer, Annabelle.
Yeah.
I respect you.
You respect. I got.
And the only question I have, who wrote the note?
Used to. No, imagine it really was Donna and Angie. No, but that is just honestly so crazy, because maybe if you think about it, maybe the scariest part isn't whether Annabelle is real. but how powerful a story can actually become because of it. Because whether you believe in demons or not, or you just doubt every word that anybody says about that, Annabelle is still sitting behind this glass chapel. I mean, closed off, blessed. There's prayers ingrained in this wood. And she's smiling. You know, she's got that Stitch smile with the sign that says, positively do not open. It's kind of hard to not want to believe in that.
For real.
Yeah, because it kind of tells you that. But again, there are skeptics in this world. A lot of people don't just believe it's something that's not true. But my thing that really throws me off is that, okay, well, if you really don't believe in these things, then would you try to, not saying you, I'm just saying in general, if you really don't believe in these things and you're like, this is just a joke, it's a prank, it's just to get people roused up and create this sense of fear.
To be fair, I did do that with Bloody Mary.
You did, but this is different.
But exactly, yeah. This is different.
This is different.
No. Probably not.
And why not? Because there's still that, even if you are 98% skeptic, there's still 2% there that could stop you.
I'm good.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I would not mess with her. Is it interesting to go see? I think I would love to go see that.
Nope.
Yeah. Maybe not love, but I'm fascinated to find out.
And the wise words of Jordan Peele? Nope.
Nope. Nope. Nope. Nope. Yeah. So that was today's episode. How'd you feel? You learned a lot about Annabelle.
I did. I like covering some paranormal shit.
Yeah, especially when they're really spooky. Like, there's so much rich paranormal history that I can't wait for us to cover.
I really want to do the Winchester House.
We will get there. We
also,
will get there.
Bobby Mackey's,
man. Ooh. That's an episode in itself. Yes, Bobby Mackey's is
Zach
very
Baggins,
interesting.
If you're listening.
No, we're not talking to Zach Baggins right now. We're actually upset with him because he was cheating on his wife or girlfriend. No, he was cheating on his girlfriend, like, 17 times. He had a freaking dating profile and he talks about empathy, but he's not being empathetic. And yeah, I'm just a little upset with him. I'm a little upset with him right now.
Aaron,
Aaron, you deserve.
You've been going through some shit. You want to come on our show?
No, buddy. We really hope you're doing okay. Okay, we're sending lots of love. And to Dan Rivera's family, we're sending so much love, so many prayers. We're just so sorry, honestly. And we hope that his legacy can continue and keep thriving. And
oh, it's going to.
Yeah.
For sure.
He definitely made a huge impact in the world. And I think it's going
to
be even
bigger.
There's
definitely people inspired by him that want to do the same thing that he's doing now,
100%.
Too.
You know, there's an audience for everything. And everyone has an audience. And he clearly did. And the paranormal community does. And it's just, yeah. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
Wicked, wicked word. It's your boy. You know what I'm about to say. We love stories. We did a listener's episode recently, and we want to hear from you. If you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, we really want you to send it our way. You can either send it to us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or go to our website, macabremondays.com, and send it our way.
Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Yo, what is with you stealing my lines? Yours just might be featured on an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and
spooky
episode. Stay tuned. More mysteries just around the corner. But until then, stay with me, baby. Stay curious. Oh, I thought you knew my line. Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay. But until then, stay curious and stay.
Oh, you almost fucked up your own
line.
No,
I didn't. I wanted to trick you. I wanted to trick you. Are you ready?
Bye.
Bye.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely fact.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.